The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. What's turned out to be a really nice day. Looked like we were going to go ahead and get the rain that's maybe expected a little later this week, earlier today. But, yeah, it's turned off into a nice day. Good Monday. And we are out on the road at Franklin Tire here with the Monday edition of The Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here at a place that has been taking care of folks for over a half century on in this location here, coming up on that mark. So I mean, they do that because they take care of people and their vehicles. They do a great job of that. And anything you need seen about your vehicle, I mean, from minor, just regular tune-ups, regular service, to major repairs and body work. I mean, they've got pretty much do it all here at Franklin Tire. So great folks, stop on in when you know you need something done, or if you feel like it's about time to get something checked up. You know, folks are getting ready to start making those trips here for the spring and summer, and you want to make sure your vehicle gets you there and back safely, and they can take care of you here at Franklin Tire.
You know, and I understand it's tempting to want to stretch your dollar.
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
You know, and there are places where you can and should try to save some money. Tires, you know, the thing that touches the ground,
yep.
You know, with your vehicles. Like, I just feel
very
like
helpful.
Yeah, I feel like that's a spot where maybe, you know, you get what you pay for and you need to be able to prioritize that. And I would also say, coming up these next couple of months, I want to prioritize making sure the AC works in your vehicle, because it's going to be another trademark Auburn spring
summer,
I imagine. We're just scratching the surface.
I mean, it's not going to be in the 70s and
no,
low 80s.
I'm afraid not. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Son Scott on the way over, and he said, "Yep, he's got to get into Franklin because his AC has gone out."
Oh yeah.
And they're going somewhere this weekend, so okay. It's like, yep, definitely want to do that. Great, they do a great job on that here as well. Brian, I'll tell you
who doesn't need AC. Is that Auburn offense on the baseball diamond right now?
You are not kidding. Now they ran into really good pitching in a game.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes. My goodness, Eric Guevara, Ethan Bingaman, Chase Braylick. I mean, they've got guys that were just tearing the cover off the ball this past week. Ethan Bingaman yesterday, just phenomenal. Three bombs,
yeah,
for the true freshman, and
first time in 15 years that Auburn's had a player in conference play with a three homer game.
Freshman ever for Auburn to have a three homer game.
I cannot name the player who did it in 2011 off the top of my head. Brian, can you?
I wrote it, and now I can't remember.
Oh, okay. That's even worse.
So
that's
my
even,
age.
Yeah, that's even worse than me blanking on it after.
Tony Caldwell, 2011.
There. Wow. Now I would not have. I would not have guessed that. Yep. So yeah.
And we don't. I believe we don't have an official record of an Auburn freshman hitting three homers in an SEC
it's
game.
Pre 92.
That's right. Like they say they going back to 92.
I can tell you that I don't think it's ever happened. I mean, I'd never when I was doing baseball back in the 80s, there were a couple of guys that hit two, and the word then was it had never happened. So okay. I feel pretty confident. Yeah. That Ethan Bingaman's the first.
Yeah, they didn't want to come out and say it's the first Auburn freshman to ever do this, because they didn't want to forget somebody from before 1992. Bill, I will defer to you
Well, I just know that the folks back then that were keeping up with it had, to their knowledge, had none.
You feel pretty safe in saying an Auburn freshman.
What a great accomplishment. What an accomplishment yesterday is Auburn run rules. Yesterday, I mean, they fall behind 2-0.
Yeah, and it didn't look good.
Oh no, it didn't look good there early on, and then it wasn't even slowly but surely. I mean, it's like then they just
Buck Terrell second inning solo shot. I mean,
how many homers did Auburn hit yesterday?
Was it six?
Six or seven? I mean, it was unbelievable.
I wrote that too and can't remember.
Yeah, no, because Auburn had 7 in a regional a couple of years ago, and I believe this was the you had 6 homers, 3 from Bingaman and 3 from his teammates.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 6. That's 24 in the last 9 games. That's pretty good.
And we were talking just a couple of weeks ago about this team ought to be hitting more home runs. We felt like they had more power because I heard a couple of people saying, well, this isn't a team that's going to beat you with a long ball. Yeah, don't say that now. But, I mean –
Oklahoma might disagree.
Yep. But, I mean, it's a – wild stretch coming up here now. Auburn has 3 series left, all against teams. Auburn is right now 5th in the SEC, and they play 3 of the teams ahead of them.
Yep.
3 of the top 4 teams the last 3
4,
weeks.
Right, yeah,
right.
1-3-4. They play at Texas A&M, which is the only other team that's on a streak like Auburn is. They've won 5 straight series. Auburn's won 4. Then it's at Mississippi State, which is in 4th place, I believe. And then finish up at home against Georgia, which leads the league right now and is 3 games ahead of Auburn. So, I mean, a lot can happen, good and not so good, for Auburn these last 3 weekends. But
I
love the way they're playing going into the stretch.
Oh, no question about that. So, it will be fun. It's actually 1-2-4. A&M's second. They're a game ahead of Texas.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
So Georgia's 16-8. Texas A&M.
How can you read that? It's so small.
It is. Why did the SEC do that?
I don't know.
There we go.
There.
Georgia's 15-6. A&M's, because I said 8 when I looked at it. It looked like 8. Georgia's 15-6. A&M's 14-6. Then Texas 13-7. Mississippi State 13-8. And Auburn 12-9.
Yep. And if you just go by the past and you look at Auburn's RPI, 13 probably gets them in no matter what. 14 pretty much guarantees them in the tournament. 15-16 gets them a regional.
15 will get you a regional host.
Yep.
17 will get you a super regional.
Right, and that's
what
Auburn was
last year.
We'll
get you a national seed.
Right, that's where Auburn was last year. 17 wins, and I guess they were the number 1 RPI last year, and their number I haven't looked today to see where they are, but they're pretty high.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that. Let's see. Boy, since we talked last week, Brian, Auburn basketball has pretty much filled out their roster.
Yeah, they still need the wing.
A wing, I believe, yes.
But they have done a terrific job, I think, in adding a ton of size to the roster. They got 2 7-footers. They went out and got the 6'10 kid, Owen Freeman from Iowa, and then Creighton. Mm-hmm. They got Thomas Dow from Troy, another big kid, and then Adam Olson from South Alabama. So 2 in-state kids. Olson's a great 3-point shooter. I believe Dowd's a pretty good shooter, too, and a great rebounder, double-double type guy.
I want to see if Owen Freeman can more closely resemble the player he was at Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
if so, then that's a huge pickup.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some people reach out to me who watched him at Iowa and talked about, like, he was one of the best bigs in the Big Ten the year before he left for Creighton, had a frustrating kind of star-crossed year in his 1 year at Creighton. But this is a guy who – no, it seems like a really cool kind of bounce back candidate. Mm-hmm. Buki is a player. Auburn's had a lot of success with productive mid major players who want to make that jump to the SEC. They've had a couple of swings and misses too, but they've had some some of the best players of the Bruce Pearl era, where guys who started their college basketball career at the mid major level, like Jani Broom, like Denver Jones. I would think that there's the possibility with Buki, and of course with Thomas Dowd as well, and Adam Olson, right? I mean, you've got multiple mid-major guys that figure to be a big part of next year's team. Love Thomas Dowd's game. Yep. Like just think he's a Bruce Pearl, and I guess now Stephen Pearl. Like he's a 4 for that system, and you've seen other guys have really big seasons playing the you know, kind of a point forward, like, I mean, do it all for, like, I think Thomas Dowd has the chance to be not just a fan favorite, in part because of the way he plays, and also because he's a local guy, and you know, and he looks like a golden retriever, right? Like, I mean, he's got like a lot of things going for him, but like he's a great kid. Yep. Like, we had Barry on, you know, and Barry raved about him before Troy played in the NCAA tournament. Like, this is, I'm really enthusiastic about the group they've assembled so far. I saw Adam Olson play a couple of times, and his shooting is off the charts.
Yeah.
Like, this is a, and obviously holding on to Todd and Kevin
Overton, right?
Like, it is where it all starts.
Yep. And they also added George Kimball, the guard, who was a great player at Eastern Kentucky 2 years ago. He led the A-Sun in steals, was second in scoring, first in free throws, fifth in three-point field goal percentage. So he's a do-it-all combo guard, can play the two and the one.
And he's 6'2".
Yep.
Kind of a weird deal, because he got injured while he was still at Eastern Kentucky, transferred to Vandy with the understanding he wasn't going to play this season and was then going to
Vandy sort of brought him in knowing that he wasn't going to be able to play early on, but liking his talent and thinking, well, he'll learn the system, we'll get him healthy and get him ready, and thank you very much, Vandy, for doing that.
And you know what? And folks are saying that Mark Byington's done as well in the portal as just about anybody in college basketball this offseason, including Sebastian Williams-Adams from Auburn joining that team at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
so I mean they are a – I know Borzello posted a, like – based on what we know right now, and again, there are a lot of big questions about. I mean, until the NBA draft deadline,
right? And until we figure out the fifth year thing.
Too. Yeah, you got to be careful about sort of projecting with absolutes. But there are several SEC teams that folks are going to be very bullish on going into next year. Auburn could be one of them because Tahad and Kevin are back, and it's an interesting group around him. I think Florida could be something of a consensus number one with the posts all coming back and the number and the amount of production that Florida team that was a one seed in last year's tournament, defending national champion, like they could be, you know, a clear cut number one. A lot of folks love Texas with the work that Sean Miller's done in the portal in year two. Arkansas is having a pretty good portal window. If Alabama gets the dominoes to fall, right? You know, if they could have a very, very good team next year. And then there's Vanderbilt, who I think belongs in that conversation as well. So it's an interesting league. I mean, it could be a little more like the league of 2 years ago, where you're talking about four or five of the 15 best teams in college basketball being SEC teams, which was not the case this year.
No.
And would be really something, especially if Auburn can play their way into that conversation.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've got that. We've got. Let's see. We can talk about the wrap up of the NFL draft. Whatever is on your mind. We're just underway here on the Monday edition of the Drive. Again, we're coming to you from Franklin Tire. Bill, Dan, and Brian. We'll get to our first break of the afternoon. You can join us. You know, stop by and say hey to us here at Franklin, or give us a call on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390, as we just get underway here on the Monday.
11390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews coming to you from Franklin Tire here on East University Drive. And it's if you've been around Auburn for a while, you know where it is. They have been here for a long time taking care of folks and their vehicles. And they can continue to do a great job. I mean, I've had just about everything. I've been here long enough. Had enough vehicles that I've had just about everything seen about and taken care of with the great folks here at Franklin. Brian, well, let's see. Well, Dan, I guess when we left the air Friday, we were getting ready for the second round of the NFL draft, and let's see, Keyron Crawford led the way for Auburn from that point on, as the Tigers have a few players taken. The most players taken in a draft since what was it? 20 was it? Around it was I think 20.
I'm excited for everyone getting their opportunity to start the pro career. I find myself especially excited for Jeremiah Wright because that's a guy who had a turbulent Auburn career, got moved around like a half a dozen times, right, from offense to defense and defense to offense, and finally got the chance to play at a position without being moved around and develop, and I think was one of the better players on the offense by the end of the season, and as evidenced by the fact that he's
he and Connor Lue just were like four or five picks apart, right?
And they're the first two Auburn offensive linemen to be. Is it since Jack Driscoll? Is that right? It's been a while since Auburn had an offensive lineman drafted.
Yeah.
I could have that wrong, but I think Jack Driscoll might have been the last Auburn offensive lineman taken in the NFL draft, which was a while ago, right? So I mean it's very cool for both Connor, and Connor went a couple of picks before.
Jeremiah. Like pick 128. I think Jeremiah was 132.
But yeah, very, very cool for both of those guys to get their chance. Especially excited for a guy who had the roller coaster ride at Auburn that Jeremiah Wright did. So
and also excited for Keyron. You know, this time last year he was coming off a season where he had 1.5 tackles for loss and no sacks. Nobody's projecting him as an NFL draft pick, mm-hmm. and he works his tail off. Does a great job, during the season, getting sacks, getting tackled for loss, being a real playmaker in the SEC. And then he's a second-day pick in the NFL. That's just amazing. And I think he's still got more steps forward that he can take with the Raiders. I don't think he's a polished or finished product by any means.
And part of college football now is watching, you know, even when your team is successful, you're going to see players from your team go to other places and succeed too, and you're going to think, oh man, mm-hmm. you know what might have been.
Wish we'd still had them.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know what Auburn, the things Auburn would have had to do differently in order to have Lee Hunter complete his Auburn career mm-hmm. at Auburn, or Romello Height complete his Auburn career
Colton
at Auburn,
Hood.
Or Colton Hood. Yeah. All three were selected over the weekend in the NFL draft. Former Auburn players who transferred elsewhere. There was talk of Lee Hunter as like a first-round pick, according to some mocks. You remember the nose tackle following Gus to Central Florida, and then finished his college career at Texas Tech. Was a starter mm-hmm. on the Tech defense. They've been in the news today as well. Texas Tech.
They have not that kind of news.
Might get into.
They'd rather talk about the good story.
Hold on, guys. I got to place another.
There's a situation there, but. So it's. You know, it's also exciting for those guys. You know, no ill will towards a former Auburn player who chooses somewhere else at the portal in most situations. And Lee Hunter, you were really high on him when Auburn got him.
What this guy could be. He was a big athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
He just needed a kick in the rear type kid. And he finally got that, right?
Not all that shocking, but he
finally grew up. Yeah. A lot of kids need that. That's not unusual. And some of them get it, and they get going, and he has done it. So good for him.
So that's, I mean, and we mentioned on Friday, we talked a little bit about Keldrick going on Thursday, second to last pick of the first round. He's headed to Tennessee, which, I mean, for a guy who.
How do the Titans have the second to last pick? Did they move down?
They traded mm-hmm. into the first round, I think, to go get Keldrick.
Because they weren't a really good team last year.
No, they weren't. They had the third or fourth, like, pick in the draft, like the. At the beginning, I think they moved back into the first round to go get, which also tells you how excited a team is about, you know, when generally speaking, when a team's willing to move up in the first round and trade up for you, that's a sign that you're an especially high priority for that organization and for a team that's rebuilding around a young quarterback, getting ready to move into a new stadium, looking for young stars. And great representatives
on
the field. And somewhat local too. I mean, a guy who's one of the nearest. I think it's a ton of
Auburn grads, including my daughter and her husband in Nashville. So yes, absolutely. You know, us three guys have been to a lot of practices, right? We know who the dudes are as soon as we step out there. We don't have to know the names; we can just see them. And Keldrick Falk has been that dude for a couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're just drawn to see the way he works, the way he does every drill correctly, or if he doesn't, he goes back and does it again, and the effort he puts in, he was just a star out there. You could see it from the get-go, and he's got the attitude, the work ethic, the size, the athleticism. He's got everything you need to be successful.
I would be real careful about attributing any of Auburn's lack of success over the last couple of years to Keldrick Falk.
No.
Like I'd be careful.
The thing is, look, and Auburn had more players. It's hard to attribute any of Auburn's lack of success the last couple of years to a complete lack of talent.
Too. Nope. Yep. I agree 100%. This is one way of saying that coaching staff offensively,
yes,
did a
absolutely.
Really, really poor job. And you know, we've talked about this before. Right? We knew this, but this is further proof. Terrible job evaluating and making decision at the quarterback position.
Well, prioritizing. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the other thing, right? It sounds great to have four wide receivers that could be number ones at different places. But
nice if you had somebody to get them the ball. Right.
And that's one thing about, like, when you're comparing this year's roster to last year's roster, like there are, to me. Maybe last year had more stars, more five stars, you know, however you want to prioritize sort of thing.
Yes.
This year, I feel good about the fact that it would appear that one of the bona fide stars of the team is the quarterback. And I don't know.
Oh, yes.
I don't know the last time. Maybe Bo Nix was the last time you were saying that.
I don't think there's any maybe about that.
Yeah,
you're right.
The last time you were feeling that way about the upcoming season.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. And Uncle Ollie is up first. What's up, Uncle Ollie?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
You there?
So Keldrick.
Hello, Unc.
Yeah. Hey, how are y'all?
Not hearing the Unc.
It's a shame.
You there?
Maybe I don't know. We'll try it again. Unc, call us back if
Drew says he's talking.
Oh well,
so we're not for some reason.
We're not hearing him, Drew. We heard the programming. We didn't hear Uncle Ollie. So what I think we're gonna do is we're gonna go to break. We're gonna put Uncle Ollie on hold. We're gonna go to break and we're gonna find out why we were unable to hear Uncle Ollie when we
don't
were able
give
to,
up on us, Unc.
Because we were able to hear the back. We're able to hear the programming,
right.
So I don't think it's an issue with our connection. It might be something that, you know, a button might need to be pushed or something. We're going to try to fix that when we before we come back.
Just start right, so we're right buttons. Back here on the Monday Drive
on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And we're here at Franklin Tire and Auto. And we were attempting to speak to Uncle Ollie. Let's see if we can hear him for
fingers
some reason.
Crossed.
Yeah.
No. Oh, are y'all there?
Doesn't sound like. I don't know why we're not.
Mm-hmm. Not hearing him.
Nope. We're able to hear programming. So
hopefully this is being treated like an urgent priority.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And people are working urgently to get it fixed. Making phone calls and asking what needs to be done.
But you know what?
In the meantime, we probably can't take calls until we get it fixed.
You know what would be nice? Before Uncle Ollie is gone, maybe Drew could get his number. We could call him back if we do get it fixed because I'd like to talk to him. Uncle Ollie always has some really good thoughts for us. So hopefully we'll get that worked out here. So in the meantime, we'll talk about a couple of other things wanted to get to. Auburn picking up a football commit over the weekend that Brian appears to be a pretty substantial commitment.
I think it's a really big one. He's a number four running back in the country. Mason Johnson Cook. Auburn beat out Miami and some other really top schools for him. He was a former receiver type athlete who's gotten bigger and thicker and converted to running back. Got really good hot top end speed, quick acceleration. Probably a little raw as a running back. You know, he hasn't played that position his whole career, but just a lot of upside for this kid. I mean, 6'1", 220 pounds, great speed. I mean, this kid could be a really, really good running back. And the fact that Auburn would go after an elite running back in this class tells you a lot about their plans for this offense.
They're going to run the blanket ball.
Alex Golish said that. Yeah, over and over, right? So this kind of backs up exactly what he's saying. Because
was it Miami that was really,
yes.
I mean, pushing, and a lot of people thought he was going to wind up there.
Yep, came went to Auburn and Miami multiple times. Was at Miami right before his decision, then came to Auburn. So it was back and forth, I think. He is from East St. Louis, Illinois. So, again, Auburn going nationally, targeting a running back, and willing to pay a premium for a top guy at this position. That, to me, says a lot about the situation Auburn's in NIL-wise, what their priorities are, what their focus are. I can understand it because I think the return on investment on a top running back now at a high school is better than, say, your return on investment for a top quarterback because
quarterback has to develop more. I mean, natural ability as a running back is much more likely to be able to step right in and play as a true freshman.
You could pay, say, $4 million for the or whatever for the top quarterback in the country to come to your school, and it could be gone after a year if he doesn't play as a true freshman. Whereas you get a running back like Mason Johnson Cook, and you know, he gets into the rotation. He's part of it. The next year, you know,
he's
going to
be the biggest
around.
Back on the roster next year. Well, I mean, unless they sign somebody else bigger.
So, to me, recruiting has never been more interesting. And then there's so many factors you got to take in mind, like what position to prioritize. How do you put a cost or a price on a player? You know, is it better to get a three-star quarterback and hope you develop him into something than paying for a four or five-star at a high school? Is it better to take the best available in the portal, getting an experienced guy? There's just so many different options out there you have to consider.
Yeah, and a lot of it's going to depend on exactly what your situation is. Yep. I mean, Auburn's got a pretty good situation, speaking of quarterback.
I agree.
I like their situation at quarterback with what we saw from Tristan Tia.
Yep.
Look, Byron Brown is your guy. He's the man this year, but Tristan Tia has shown he has arm talent. There's no question about it. And I like the two young guys behind them. Hewitt.
Yeah,
you, Lachlan
yeah,
Hewitt.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those guys, I have a pretty good feeling about the ability of, I don't know if it's Alex Golish, if it's Joel Gordon or whoever, but has a pretty good eye, I think, for quarterback potential.
Well, I'm kind of talking circles here because Auburn did go after a five-star quarterback, right? They were a finalist for a kid. But to me, when I look at what Auburn has, I feel like they have set themselves up well, having Byron this year, having a couple of younger guys that you feel like could compete for that starting job next year. So if they continue to feel good about that, why not just go out and sign you another developmental quarterback for next year that who could develop and spend that money on other important positions rather than going to try to find the top portal quarterback if you think Tia or one of the other guys is good enough to be the starter.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a path that you could take that would seem to make sense.
Yep.
So
And it's got to be huge, too. I mean, we were just talking about the benefit of continuity in college basketball, and obviously it's different when you're talking about your backup quarterback stepping up, but even like it's look, you may end up after this season, you may decide, you know what, the answer at quarterback is in fact
out.
Some maybe you have to go in the portal. It feels great that there's the possibility that you're developing something beyond just 1 year, and it's not just at quarterback. It's one of the things I like about this staff.
Well, I like the offensive line, the running back. I mean, a lot of the rooms.
The offensive line? That's good.
Well, no, I do. I like the fact that there are young guys.
I'm worried. Oh yes,
there
I do
are young
like,
guys.
I like
and
that. I
the
like that,
experience.
Yes.
It's not just we're counting nothing. We're counting on nothing but 1 year guys on the offensive line.
Right. Yeah, we know
there's a plan for the future along with trying to solve all the issues.
I mean, there are options.
The
you're going to have a lot more options with the players that they have.
Oh yeah, I mean even the guys that you feel like you can count on as starters this year on the offensive line are players making a pretty huge jump up, right? When you talk about guys like Cole Best and Joe
Simmons, sophomore backup last year,
But right now it feels like the safest bets to start
with
on the
Joe
team
Simmons and
are Best and Simmons
and Best,
and those are
and
both.
Then, yeah, if Stanton Ramil is healthy, I mean, but you've got guys that are you know,
but
experience,
but
maybe not at this level.
But my point was that they seem to have guys virtually everywhere on the offense. They seem to have a player or two who's a project waiting in the wings that may be ready in 27. Could contribute now.
Yeah.
But could also be ready to take the step forward, whether it's, at running back. I mean, you could say Omar.
Yeah.
Is that guy, you know, compared
maybe
to
– maybe that guy this fall, possibly. He probably – you're not going to be ahead of Cobb, but he could be number two.
He could be ahead.
You know, receiver, Deshaun Spencer and, Brian Williams.
Williams Jr., absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's multiple examples of that. I mean, at tight end, right, they've got Newsom, who they really like. Mm-hmm. They've got Eccles, who was in the orange jersey.
Well, you know something crazy about receiver? How many upperclassmen do you think Auburn has in that large group of receivers?
Nimrod.
Do they have a senior?
Nimrod's a senior.
Nimrod's is he the only senior?
And Singleton is a junior, I believe.
Yeah.
So they have two upperclassmen. The rest are all sophomores or freshmen.
Wow.
And Nimrod, to me, is, I mean, other than Byron Brown and Jeremiah Cobb, like, Nimrod's as safe a bet as there appears to be on the offense.
I agree.
Beyond Nimrod, it feels like
– Simmons.
But I mean at receiver.
Oh, like, yeah, beyond, yeah. Beyond, I was just going to say on offense.
Yeah,
I would say.
Beyond Nimrod at receiver, it feels – muddled. I mean, I know Singleton.
With some freshmen really stepping up.
I think Singleton is definitely a starter.
Yeah.
And maybe Coker. Probably, as a matter of fact. But
but
lot of that's because of their familiarity with the system and with Byron Brown.
Yep. And you got guys like Brian Williams, who had a really good spring, and Deshaun Spencer, who also had an excellent spring. True freshmen that are already probably, if they're not in the playing rotation, they are knocking on the door of it. So, that's a position I feel good about this year and feel really good about going into the future.
Yeah, I think you have to. And that's something that it appears that even though there was huge turnover and you had, 60 new players on this team, including the signees, I don't think that's something you want to try to do every year. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that you did have the coaching change.
Right.
You're gonna have probably – I mean, if you have less than a dozen players that leave every year, that's going to be a surprise. Just about every school is having, 15, 20 players leave on a regular basis because they're guys that just either aren't getting the playing time they want or aren't getting the pay that they want.
Right. But, the turnover, losing, was it 35, I guess? If you could cut that down to closer to 20.
20. Yeah.
Yeah, it would make a big difference in just having some, as you say, continuity from year to year.
I think considering the job that this staff did of filling in the spots and being able to create depth with it not being top heavy.
Yeah.
It's not all seniors and it's not all, unproven freshmen either. So
you can tell this staff is so organized and they have a plan for everything, and you can see it every time they go out and do something. You saw it with the portal with all the other young guys they got that have that potential. Plies is just a sophomore, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Probably going to be a starting guard this year, so you could have him as a two-year starter maybe.
Ty Buster might end up being a starter too.
That's the thing is right now it feels like there are a lot of guys, especially on the O-line, where it's like they might end up being a starter, but how many guys would you say might start the Baylor game on the O-line? Is it 10?
I would say 5 guys will start the
game. Sure, Mike. Yeah, how many players? How many players might? How many players might?
I probably could narrow it down to 7 or 8.
I'd say 8.
Listing guys.
I'd say 8
on the O line. Yeah,
I don't know about Stanton Rommel. I don't know what is he going to look like when he comes back.
I'd say he's one of the guys who might.
But he's definitely somebody that they think
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Could yes. start that we'll opening see. Game against Baylor.
We'll yeah, see. I mean, I think you've got. I mean, 8's probably the smallest number of offensive linemen in contention.
Starting guard most of the spring, but is he going to be the starting guard when the season opens? We'll see.
Yeah. I think you've got at least 3 guys at guard, at least 3 guys, at least 3, maybe 4 at guard, at least 3 at tackle, and then best is going to be your center.
Sure. Yeah. And fair to wonder how effective that group is going to be. You've assembled an offensive line through the catalog, right? You went to the portal and ordered
they did something this spring that they haven't been able to do the last couple of springs. They ran the ball against the first defense.
Yeah.
We saw that in the spring game. And that's with the defense knowing that Byron Brown wasn't going to be able to run it.
That's right. One-hand touch.
So, I mean, if they're able to run the ball, and I think we saw as much ones against ones, and I think that's the way they went in the scrimmages. And that's something that's definitely got to be good for this offense because Brian, I think this is going to be a pretty good defense.
I do, too. I was worried about the defensive line before spring.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went out there and watched them, and then I watched them again, and I feel I feel like they're good. The only thing I'm concerned about with that group is just maybe a little bit more depth I'd love for them to have. But I think overall they're a really good unit. I think the kid they got from Arkansas State, Sigler, I think he's a really good player. And Darian Smith has really stepped up, gotten bigger, has that natural quickness. Jared Smith, at one defensive end or edge spot, has been really, really good. Looks like he's going to be a breakout type player.
They seem to feel just about as good about Deshaun Womack as well. I like
a leader.
Tell you what, I thought Malik Autry looked much. Yep. Much improved this spring.
And he could be kind of the fifth man there as a rotational guy that could play nose or defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Or maybe he steps into a starting role. And getting Dallas Walker back was really big.
I mean, the pass rush, I went into the spring thinking it was one of the biggest question marks on the team because, I mean, the pass rush at times wasn't as effective as you'd like it to be last year, and that was with Keldrick Falk and Keyron Crawford,
right,
who both got drafted. And so it's like the thought of even maintaining last year would require some serious improvement. And you also lost to Morris to the transfer portal, and awful news
that he's probably
going to miss the season at UGA with a torn ACL, because that guy is, I mean, you know what reminds the way we talked about Morris last year before he had a pretty productive season for Auburn, and I mean, as evidenced by the fact that Georgia wanted him after the season is over. I mean, I don't think generally I'd say Kirby is not in the business of signing bum defensive linemen.
Yeah. He's a football player.
They're very selective with their portal picks.
So I bring that up because a lot of that feels like the way we're talking about Jared Smith right now. Like a lot of the uneven first year for a five star, for a guy who was a mega prospect.
I really feel like there's more expected of Jared Smith this year because he's the guy.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, Amaris wasn't the guy out there last year. You were looking for him to make to make some plays as the
passing
number two guy.
When Keldrick moved inside,
this year, Jared needs to be the guy.
Well, looked. I mean, there were times, and I know it's not live ammo, right? But like, it's not live rounds out there. Right. But like the A-Day game, like there are stretches where he looked like the best defensive player on the field.
He did.
Oh, but, yes.
And the other thing I think we got to remember about this defense, and we saw it last year even with Keldrick Falk and Keyron Crawford and those guys, is it's a linebacker center defense. Xavier Atkins had, I think, 5-6 sacks. Bryce Diaz can get in there. Obviously, Elijah Melendez, DeMarcus Riddick. So you've got – I just named four linebackers that are as quick, as fast as any linebacker in the conference and are going to be – used extensively in the pass, whether they're dropping back or whether they're rushing the passer, they're going to be very productive in that area. So I'm with you guys. I think this defense can be really good once again.
And again, not to be glib, like not to boil it down to like not to oversimplify.
Right.
Is the offense going to get worse? Like is that a real?
I
is
think
that a
it's
real,
hard to get worse real, with the quarterback.
Real possibility. I mean, look, the defense could take a step back. You have a lot of turnover. You have a lot of players that aren't back.
Right. Well, cornerback to me,
corners a big question. Yeah. Sure. I mean, you're asking a lot of if it's Jordan, if it's Pleasant, if it's Woodby, like whoever's your top. I think they have some ability there. I think Woodby's one of those guys they feel really good about the spring he had and the steps he took over the last.
Just a lot of unproven players there. A little bit of a they got numbers, but questionable depth. Like, is it quality depth? But, we'll see.
Yeah, safety's a different story.
Yeah, it is.
But I mean, safety, you've got like two or three teams worth of players.
If we're looking in December and it's like, all right, we'll take a look at Auburn's numbers in conference play, and then compare them to Auburn's numbers in conference play from 2025.
Defensively?
Offensively.
Offensively.
Right? It's like
Auburn's going to be much better.
Yeah. I mean, if they're not, right, then it's like, well, then it feels probably impossible that you have any significant improvement from last year.
I mean, they're not going to average 35 points per game and, you know, rip and roar through the SEC, but I think they can be much, much better.
Yeah.
They're much more consistent, especially, you know, running the ball and being able to throw the ball more than the 5-yard hitch or 5-yard out or whatever, you know, they did most of last season.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
When Hugh Freeze was let go, I mean, you were, what, 5 or 6 SEC games into the season, and you could count every touchdown that Auburn had scored in SEC play. Like six games in, like you could go pretty easily. You could recount, it was this passing touchdown against that one team, and that's what happens when you finish, you know, practically every game with fewer than 20 points, right? Is that the touchdowns will be, and you're kicking a lot of field goals, like the touchdowns will be pretty memorable and few and far between, and that's what happened last year to the offense, and there's a lot different, and hopefully we're not talking about a drought like that again in 2026.
No, you're right about that. That would not be fun.
Still gotta see it to believe it, but I feel fairly good that they'll be better than last year. I don't think that's saying too much, right? Offensively.
Yes. For Brian, it's like twice burned, really, really shy. So,
exactly.
All right. We'd love your thoughts. I don't know if we can hear them.
Text them, maybe? I don't know.
Well, I guess
we can have them sit to us, like text our questions.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, the text box
email?
Is – you remember the number?
No, I don't even think we're doing that anymore. No.
Well, call the studio and have them text us questions.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
All right, we need to get to our final break. We mentioned other things going on at Texas Tech. Let's talk a little bit about the situation with Brendan Sorsby when we come back here on the Monday Drive from Franklin Tire.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to...
I mean, it's still unsettled law as to whether or not you can, you know, a kid can sign away his exclusive NIL rights to you,
right.
And you can block him from transferring. That now, because it... I mean, look, he went through spring practice at Texas Tech. If we didn't have the gambling story, we wouldn't be talking about Sorsby right now at all.
No.
If he checks into rehab for gambling and is now apparently ineligible. That's the story. But yeah, apparently the lawsuit with Cincinnati was still going on, too.
All right, we'll get to our top of the hour break. Halfway done. Don't forget, it's Monday. We'll get Brian's Monday musings in hour number two. So stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a nice-looking Monday afternoon. And hope you had a good weekend. If you went out to the ballpark, it was pretty pleasant, pretty enjoyable. Auburn baseball taking 2 out of 3 from Oklahoma over the weekend, including a walk-off win yesterday. 14-4 is the Bats. The Bats continue to be hot. Auburn over the last month, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com along with Bill and Dan here as we come to you from Franklin Tire. But over the last month, Brian, Auburn has been the best hitting team in the SEC.
How about that? And they struggled so much the first half of SEC play, basically. We're just striking out too much, not making good, solid contact. They got their approaches straightened out, though.
Left a lot of runners on base for a while.
Yeah, and they're starting to drive the ball to the gaps. They're going opposite field a lot.
Hey, they're hitting bombs now is what they're doing a lot of.
And when they get
lately.
A fastball that's, grooved, they barrel it. And
I mean, 400-something footers, it seems like, are pretty common lately. Yesterday, 6 home runs, 3 of them by Ethan Bingaman. As Auburn wins at 14-4, they move to 12-9 in the SEC. They've got 3 huge series left on the road against Texas A&M and Mississippi State before Georgia comes in. By the way, Texas A&M's number 2 in the conference, Mississippi State's number 4, and Georgia leads the conference. So that's who Auburn has left to play here as we head down the stretch.
Yeah, with 12 SEC victories, Auburn has played its way all but off. You know, you're not talking about concerns.
No bubble talk when you're top 5.
Number 6 RPI, I just checked today.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're now the conversation is about what do you have to do to stay in the top 16 and, in fact, stay in the top 8.
Yep. I think Auburn would love another chance at hosting a Super Regional.
I think
here.
Right now they're in. I think they would be right now.
Yeah.
I think there's a really good chance there'd be 5 SEC teams in the top 8.
The thing that's weird about the SEC this year is Georgia is the overall leader in the SEC, but their RPI is down around 20, which is
well. You look
a
look at
poor
the
non-conference
look
schedule.
At the schedules that some of these teams have played.
Yep.
I mean, Auburn has played a a brutal schedule, yes, and it will continue to be the case. And yet here they are, and that's one of the reasons why they are ranked as high as they are. So a fun weekend at the ballpark. We had some technical difficulties there in hour number one with the phones. We're gonna try and see if we've got things worked out. Dan, who do we have?
We're going to test it out. If we can't hear James right now, we're going to busy all the phones and say we can't take calls the rest of the show. So this is the trial by fire.
All right, we're crossing fingers.
James is on the phone. If we can hear James, then we're good to go for the rest of the hour. If not, we can't. James, are you there?
I'm here. How about you hear me?
All right.
Hello, James. We can hear you.
Thank you. Hey, just I want to. You may have touched on it in hour one, but I have a question about the Mason Johnson Cook that committed Saturday.
Yes. Right.
Do you think that with him committing, it's going to be a two-part question. You think with him committing, this is going to possibly be a catalyst for other guys, for other players that may have been on the bubble, say, "Hey, Auburn's got something going. I want to be a part of it."
Well,
and then the other part, do you think maybe there'll be kids that will commit, but the coaching staff may say, "Hey, look, let's don't go public with it. Let us kind of, you know, piecemeal it out at strategic times."
To answer the second question first, I don't know that they do that much anymore, the silent commitments.
Okay.
I think once a kid's ready to announce, you know, you get the social media ready, you get the announcement ready, and he just does it. I don't think Auburn's into playing those games anymore.
I got you.
I think Mason Johnson Cook is a really good running back. We did talk about him, 6'1", 220 pounds, really fast, quick, great athlete, and is developing his running style, but has a huge upside and could be a special talent here in the SEC in the coming years. Auburn has three commitments now. I think, you know, the bulk of this class is going to commit mid-June through mid-July.
Now, how many players do you think Auburn would like to sign out of high school now? Things
really
have changed so much over the years.
I don't have that answer right now. I don't either.
I used to be able to say, well, I'd look to see how many seniors there are and guess about how many you're going to have. It's much tougher now with the board.
But to answer this question, I don't think anymore that things like being a part of a great class mean as much as they used to, right? It's about the money, right? And it's about the opportunity at the school and the relationships you build. But number one is about the money. So I think that's what it's going to come down to for a lot of kids. Not everyone, you know, Auburn, Georgia, and LSU may offer a kid a similar amount of money. He just picks the school he likes the most or where he fits in the most or who can offer him early playing time.
I'd love to, you know, to sort of know more about the philosophy of the Auburn coaches as far as when they're evaluating a high school player, how much is it he can help us immediately and how much of it is he can help us eventually? And how much of that are you weighing on the trail? Because it feels like, you know, especially in an era where everybody can leave.
Right. You can't sign a five-star or a high-four-star kid that's going to help you eventually unless him and his parents are like, we want to come to Auburn. We know our son needs to develop. We promise you we're giving you 3 years or whatever, right? Sure, okay, and that unusual circumstance,
and even
yes.
Then, and even then.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, come talk to me in December.
Yeah.
Right after, you know, three years,
right,
eh?
Right. So I think that's tough to do. So now it's about, okay, if we're going to pay a premium for this high school kid, he needs to be able to come in and play right away.
He better be. Yeah. You better be able to get a return immediately.
Right, or we're throwing our money away.
Yes.
Because he's going to go somewhere else.
And no disrespect to coaches who do very well recruiting five stars and everybody's consensus, right, of like these guys are great. I think part of the job is being able to identify the guys that maybe not everyone has agreed upon.
It's much more important now than it was.
Maybe you
have a better chance of hanging on to them and having them turn into something.
And being able to see and that's not just a football thing. I think that's true in basketball and baseball as well, but especially in football.
We'll call it the Nick Saban era. During that era, the way to win consistently was to stack your roster with five stars and four stars year after year. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State would have a five-star backup,
right,
who wouldn't start for 3 or 4 years and would stay there at the school.
Right. Yeah, because they didn't have the options that they do now of leaving at any time.
Mm-hmm. Now that just does not work anymore. Even at those schools, those guys transfer out. The talent is being spread out more, so more teams now have a chance to compete at the highest level. And you have to be more selective about what you're going to do in recruiting as far as paying players, you know, because you might get a much better return on investment if you take a three-star defensive lineman who you think has this great upside. But because, you know, he's not being offered, you know, millions of dollars to go somewhere else, you can keep him around for a few years.
Appreciate the call, James. 334-321-1390. It's good to be able to say that. And, yeah. Expect we're going to be able to hear the callers.
Appreciate everybody who worked hard to fix that back in the studio.
Yeah, let's see. So we were talking a little bit about baseball, but, hey, we want to congratulate Auburn's men's and women's tennis teams.
Yeah.
The men's tennis team is a two seed.
Nice.
The women's tennis team is the
number two seed. Okay.
I
imagine the men's golf team will still be number one seed close to
I'm
it.
I'm sure. Despite not winning the SEC. Right. Jackson Coivin,
he did win the SEC,
three-peat.
Yeah,
but yeah, they will be. Ole Miss just ridiculously hot.
They did. That can happen. Match play.
But Auburn's definitely talented enough to be able to win it all there in men's golf. So yeah, some of the spring sports continuing and going pretty well. And in addition to baseball that we were talking about here just a little bit ago, so quite the challenge at Texas A&M, like you were saying, Brian. I mean, if there's a hotter team than Auburn in the SEC, yep. It's probably A&M.
It is. They've been playing great baseball, playing at home, and that their stadium, I guess Bluebell Park, is a really tough place to play. So that's going to be a challenge, and I heard Savannah Bananas is going to be there one of the days.
Oh, is that
I don't
right?
know which day. So it's going to be kind of a madhouse over there, I feel like. So we'll see. But I do not rule out Auburn going over there and win that series. Anytime you have the pitching that Auburn does, that's going to give you a chance to win just about every game. And if they can continue the approach they've had, they're going to be close games out there, and they're going to have a chance to win. And this team is really starting to find their stride at the right time of the season, and you know, we've seen them finish strong before under Butch, so I don't want to put too much pressure on them, but I also don't want to say that they're going to go in there and it's good just winning one of three. It might be good winning just one of three there, but don't rule out
just
them.
Well, the thing is right now you just want to make sure you don't get swept.
Don't get swept, yep.
Don't get swept on the road.
And then try to win that series.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and we saw this past week, we've talked about the luxury Auburn has with four weekend starters really available. Jackson Sanders coming on in and closing things out, getting the save on Friday.
Yep, and LJ Cormier was so important Saturday in that loss to hold, Oklahoma where they were and give Auburn a chance to come back. It didn't happen, and save the rest of the pitching staff for Sunday. And
right,
when a guy like Garrett Brewer comes in and just didn't have it, you know, you've got Ryan Hetzler to jump right in there and shut him down for two innings. So that was really big. I mean, I know they won it with the offense and the home runs, but still this pitching staff continues to be really, really good and really, really deep.
Yeah, I was looking at the numbers a while ago, and I mean, my goodness, I mean, eight of Auburn's nine – regulars now are hitting .296 or better.
They have really turned.
The only one that's not is Eddie Madrigal, and he's still just coming around. He's hitting .273.
He is capable of getting hot and going on streak where he hits a bunch of bombs. Chris Rembert has still not really got it going yet. You know,
I mean, he's hitting .329, but you're right. It still doesn't feel like he's driving the ball the way that you would have expected.
Here's the wild number about their power. They hit 29 home runs in the first 34 games of the season. They have hit 24 home runs in the last nine. I mean, that's just a complete turnaround.
We were lamenting, I think, after the Alabama series, you know, some of the numbers. Yeah. And granted, you only had, nine SEC games at that point. But, like, looking at some of the offensive stats, just the conference play alone, nine games in, and it was a mess. Now,
Auburn's a team. Now, the team batting average is .300 now.
Yeah.
And you've got – I want to get this right. You have four different players slugging over .500 in conference play
That wasn't the case 3 or 4 weeks ago.
No, Guevara is nearly slugging 600.
Yeah. He is right now. He's just white hot.
He's 31 of 77 in league play. Right? Like, I mean, just like he is absolutely, and that's with.
And that was with an 0-for on Saturday.
Yeah.
He went 0-for-4 Saturday.
And that's with eight.
Yeah, that's right.
That's with eight.
Yeah, that hitting streak he had going. I forget how far he got up there.
Yeah, it was 18, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So, yep.
Yeah, 8 extra base hits for Guevara. Destroy the ball.
Yeah, he really is.
Bingham,
yeah.
Bingham
SEC now, player of the week.
Bingham and 5 homers in league play. One of 2 Auburn players who's hit 5 homers in league play along with Terrell. Frelick and McCrane each have 4. Right? I mean it's mm-hmm. you've seen things come alive, and that was, I mean, the lineup was supposed to be, that was supposed to be the thing you felt great about going into the year. The pitching was supposed to be the question mark.
Yep.
And instead pitching has been consistent
all year.
All year long. Yep. Now you're seeing some of these bats warm up, and yep. I mean, yeah, Guevara, what a season he's had, and what a week those last 4 games.
Yeah, Auburn and Texas A&M are the 2 teams that nobody wants to play right now in the league,
right,
and they're playing
that.
Each other this weekend. So it's going to be a fun series. No midweek game because of finals, but they'll be at action. I think it's Friday at 7 o'clock. And I think that first game's on SEC Network, I believe.
334-321-1390. Let's get back to the Drive hotline, and Bill is up next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I have a question for Brian, or really for all of you, but I saw today where Arkansas – gave up men's tennis, men and women's mm-hmm. tennis. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's a sign of something?
Where, no question.
I do.
A lot of non-revenue sports are cut away to garner more money for other
football
other
and basketball.
I do, but I think it's interesting because I don't think we're close to figuring it all out, because you still have Title IX. And if you start cutting too many of those programs, there's going to be lawsuits, and once again, we're going to be into the courts.
Yeah,
and so
by doing men's and women's tennis,
right.
though, it
right.
keeps
right.
it about
right,
even.
Right, 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 right. It does.
You just have to be concerned. We were talking about this the other day, Bill. Dan and I were talking about this. I mean, the next thing you have to be concerned with is the number of sports that you have to maintain, mm-hmm. you know, per conference.
Right, and the conference, of course, can change those rules.
Right.
So it is very interesting to see how this is going to go. The costs are going up. That's one of the reasons they're trying to expand the mm-hmm. the playoffs to potentially as high as 24 teams, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
And doing all these other things to increase revenues.
Here's my not to make this a football playoff conversation. If we're going to 24, mm-hmm. I want every conference represented. That's my okay. Fine.
Well, 11, you're not going to get what you want.
11,
there, Dan.
11 conference. If 11 that. Conference champions nope. are getting in, we nope. can go to 24. If nope. you just if you want to use that as a way to just get in
all right,
mediocre.
So Dan against.
No, well, if you want to no, if you want
Tony Petitti.
I don't want 24.
If you want 24,
yeah.
24 just so mediocre major conference.
Right.
That's what they want.
In, yeah, awful.
Well, that's what you're going to get.
You want 24.
That's
with,
what you're going to
you
get.
I don't want it.
With, you want 24 with
I don't
11
want either one.
Champions.
I don't want either one. But we're going to get 24, and it's going to be with more
yeah,
Big
yeah.
Ten and SEC
awful.
Teams.
Yeah, yeah, awful.
I agree.
Okay, so as for the question.
Bill's question.
Yeah, non-revenue sports. I mean, the questions you got to answer are like what are beyond economics? What are the benefit of having Olympic sports as part of your program? Like what do you as a school get out of it? And what do you, I mean, 'cause I think there are answers to that.
Yeah.
Like there are answers to presenting a more complete campus.
If you have a successful Olympic sport at your school, that receives a lot of attention, and it potentially puts Olympians from your school into the Olympics, where they get a lot of exposure for you and your school.
But I could see how bean counters. You know, I could see how if it's just about money, I could see how it's like, well. Is that benefit worth the cost right. of fielding that team?
Yeah, yeah. And you could see it, and this is terrible, but I mean, you could see where tennis would be something that you might mm-hmm. be able that a school could look at and go, well, what huge benefit would we get out of this
right.
for you know if we produce really good tennis players, some of them that go on to the tour,
right.
and how long is it before they're recognizable names?
Yeah. Oh, I understand.
And that they're linked
yeah.
with our school
yeah.
because you know. You don't hear an awful lot about. I mean, even the, a lot of the best pros now. You don't know where they went to school,
right?
So yeah, it's tough, Bill.
Although,
but I think that's the way it is.
I have always heard that in sports like golf and tennis and swimming and diving, it's also the possibility that you're recruiting people that are going to become very successful professionals, maybe not professional athletes, mm-hmm. very successful professionals, and that yes. could be, that could benefit your yes. university and your.
But it seems like the feeling is more golf and swimming mm-hmm. than it is tennis.
And of course, a former swimmer was head of the IOC. Is
that's
that
right? Right. Yeah, Coventry.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Plenty of time for you to join us. And, hey, when we come back, I think it's that time for us to get Brian's Monday musing. So stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Call free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews here at Franklin Tire on this Monday. And again, Franklin's normally just open till 5:30, but since we're here, they weren't going to leave and leave us here. I guess they don't trust us or nah.
Well, the last time they let us fix some of the cars, right?
Yeah.
That didn't work quite as well. No, they're open till 6 o'clock today, but 7:30 to 5:30.
I still have
days.
Some leftover bolts. I'm not sure what to do with them.
Sorry. Yeah, so just toss them. Who needs those?
Yeah.
You'll hear something one day and figure, oh, that might have been what it was. No, but great folks here at Franklin, and they can take care of all of your needs for you and your vehicle. So come on in the next time you need something done. All right, Brian, it is
yes.
Monday, and we always look forward every week. Brian has his Monday musings there on the board there .com. So first of all, what are the athletics musings today?
I talked about how much I despise the 2014 playoff.
Oh, okay.
I didn't use that word, but
didn't we learn like the right number probably was closer to four than we all thought?
Well, it needs to be a multiple of four.
Well, if you
needs to be either 4, 8, or 16.
I agree
no
with
more
that 100%. No buys.
And I think
play on campus.
16 is probably too many. You know, if we're not mandating conference champions.
Right.
If we're just taking the top however many teams, I think in a perfect world that number's eight.
Well,
if we're saving spots for teams,
see the problem.
No, we got to have a mid-major. We got to have if we're doing that, then 24 with every conference.
But you're not gonna get every conference. Look, and the thing is, you talked about how it's a different world now when we were talking about Brendan Sorsby a little while ago. It is also, college football is the sport that has by far the lowest percentage of its participants making the postseason.
Right.
So that's one of the arguments that both the SEC with Greg Sankey talking about 16 and Petitti and the Big Ten talking about 24 are saying, hey, it's not right. You look at all the other sports and a much higher percentage of their teams have an opportunity to play in the postseason. But in college football, a much lower percentage of teams have a legitimate shot of winning.
Yeah. To that question, I look at this past playoffs. Number 10 seed Miami made it to the finals. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame was left out. I think they were legitimately at least had the qualifications to compete for it. That's 11 teams last year I felt like could mm-hmm. honestly compete for the title, right? Mm-hmm. You feel like in the coming years the talent spreads out more with NIL and with the transfer portal, so that's going to increase. So 12 works great, I think. I hate the buys. I hate
the
long
layoffs. Yeah, I don't like the buys.
I hate going
I'd like more games on college campuses.
Right.
So, I've been a proponent of 16.
Yeah.
I've been a proponent of 16 for a while. I can see a third or fourth best team in the SEC or the Big Ten being good enough to play for
yes.
a title.
Yeah, or get hot enough to win it. You never know, right? I mean,
yeah.
You could get a team
to at least
that's
play
super talented
right.
that just – hasn't figured it out the first few weeks, gets some losses,
right.
and boom, they get it going.
But 24 I don't like, but I'm afraid we're headed that way, Brian.
But I talked about why is this big push for 24? Well, it's coming from the Big Ten, first of all, and the partnership with Fox Sports. Any agreement
ooh,
to go,
I hadn't thought about that.
Any agreement to go over 16
yep.
opens it back up.
To someone besides ESPN.
Right, so ESPN has it through 31, I believe. So if it goes to 24, Fox Sports can go after some of those new games, and they would and they will. So that's a big reason, number one.
Right now ESPN has control, and they can sell some of those games. Like that's why
yes,
some of those college
TNT.
Football playoff games are on TNT.
Yes, they can.
If it grew beyond 16, ESPN would lose full control, and
yes,
teams
right.
could,
yes.
other networks, other buyers
yeah, that's
could
a great
get
point.
Into to try to join the party.
Another reason it's being driven by the head coaches. They know now that the biggest resume builder besides winning a national championship is – I took my team to the playoff this many years, whether it's retaining a job, whether it's getting a new contract, whether it's finding a new job, that's going to be a big selling
point. Bowl games, let's face it, bowl games do nothing.
Right.
They don't move the needle at all anymore.
Right. I mean, they're all about playoffs.
Well, that's the thing is that there was a world when four teams made the playoffs, certainly when two did, but when four made it,
right,
you could have a great season without making the college football
playoff. Win 10 games, make a bowl game.
No, there's no way.
Once you grow it past eight, like once it's like 12 or 14 or 16 or 20, whatever, it's like if you didn't make the college football playoff, it's real hard to sell. You could have overachieved.
For a team that believes they should be in it, you have to be around long.
If you've been a team that hasn't had a winning season for a few years, then you can appease the fan base by winning
for a year.
Yeah, for a year.
The other reason I mentioned, of course, is money. Everybody in college,
the more teams, the more money. Absolutely.
To pay for NIL, to pay for the transfer portal, the costs are going up. Every year it's more and more per player, agents, you know, greedy agents, whatever they want to call it. But the problem with that is, okay, so they get more money. What's going to happen 3 years from now? The numbers will go up and they'll be in the same position again. So I talked about those three things in regards to that. And I hate the idea of 24. We talked about this many times on this show and whenever I'm out there, but the only way to solve this bigger issue of money and the rising cost is to
got to be an agreement.
Make the revenue players, athletes, employees, or of some kind, in collective bargain.
If it's got to be 24, I would the way I'd be like, okay, would be every conference gets their champion.
Yeah, and I would hate that. There's so many bad games.
But if it's 24, right, then you open the season.
See, now that's the next step, Dan. Yeah. That's probably 32.
You give every conference champion in there.
So if you're going to get 11 conference champs in there, I guarantee you're going to need more than 20.
And the SEC and Big Ten aren't going for that. And we got to remember the SEC and Big Ten have control over the future of the college football playoffs right now.
They don't want more other teams.
Exactly.
They just want more of their teams.
Yeah. So, music.
We're going to work with 8-4 SEC teams and 8-4 Big Ten teams need to be in the playoff.
I think both y'all are going to get this. I think Bill gets it because of his vast music knowledge, and I think Dan gets it because of his vast movie knowledge.
Ooh.
All right. So, we are going back 58 years, 1968.
68? Okay.
The release of a single from a movie that would become the famous folk rocks duo's second number one hit.
Mrs. Robinson.
Yeah. Yes, from?
Song from The Graduate.
I said The Graduate.
I figured y'all would get that pretty quick.
You know that was almost Robin instead of
Mrs. Hoffman? Roosevelt. It was first written for
Eleanor
Roosevelt.
No, the guy who played Dustin Hoffman's character in The Graduate. Was gonna be Burt Ward? Is that Robin?
Robin, yes.
Oh, okay. And he couldn't get out of the TV contract, so they had to go to Dustin Hoffman.
Where would Dustin Hoffman be now?
What would have changed about Burt Ward's career over the subsequent few decades?
One Academy Award was the highest grossing movie of 1967, The Graduate.
Can you imagine, Bill? Right? I mean,
No, I can't. I can't imagine Burt Ward being in that.
That was one
Jiminy
of
Jiminy Jillikers Batman.
They're three number ones. They broke up in 1970, 71, I think.
It must have been 71.
And of course,
Ray Charles Simon was still 70.
Had a great, or is having a great solo career. And Garfunkel has had a pretty solid career too.
Yeah, he seemed a little more reserved.
Yes.
Than Paul. Yeah. I mean, Paul didn't mind dressing up as, you know, whatever on Saturday Night Live.
And Paul did most of the songwriting.
Oh, yeah.
But, that was fun to write about them. They grew up together in Queens.
Yeah, they were like neighbors or something. I mean, guys.
Yeah, three blocks from each other. Mm-hmm. At 13, they recorded the first song together. At 13, they wrote their first song. 15, recorded their first song and got a recording contract.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Still in high school.
Pretty good. Yep.
And Paul Simon still, don't know if he tours anymore, still
he does.
Performs live. Yeah, I know.
He does. I mean, because I was trying to figure a way to see him because I've never seen him. He was on tour last year. Didn't get a chance. Oh, got a show this week, though.
There you go.
Got Springsteen this Saturday.
Yeah.
Nice.
But cool. Simon and Garfunkel and
And the graduate.
Mrs. Robinson.
Yes, yes.
We got Philly Fanatic
played
hanging on. You want to go to break so we don't have to.
Yeah, let's do that. That way he'll have all the time when we come back. So hang on, Fanatic. We'll be right back with the final half hour of the Monday Drive.
And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final 20 minutes or so of the Monday Drive here at Franklin Tire.
During the commercial break, we discussed, because Bill got the music musing. With just 1968 movie music.
Movie
and
music.
That's all you need for The Graduate. And we're thinking, like, what other, like, given those clues only, what else could it have been? And I immediately went to, like, Bond
movies.
Bond themes.
We got into Bond songs.
Shirley Bassey. Yep. And that led to us doing different versions of Goldfinger.
Can you imagine somebody stepping into Franklin and hearing us doing doing the
singing. They'd turn right around and leave.
Moonlight groundskeeper to the tune of Goldfinger.
Excellent
work.
Save us, Philly Fanatic. How you doing, man?
I'm good. So today you'd be happy to know I was wearing my 106.7 ESPN Auburn Opelika. It's a smart. I like it. So
hey Philly,
you hear me?
I gotta ask before. Fantastic. Glad you're rocking the shirt. Before you get started with what you called about, what is wrong with the fighting Phils, Philly?
The same thing is wrong with the Amazons.
Nothing's wrong with the Braves, baby.
Yeah, they switched. You know, it was the Braves at the bottom and the Phils at the top. Man, I don't know. It's just unbelievable. I'm going with the Braves. I like them. The Phillies, hopefully they'll get into playoffs. They're going to have to do something, what they're not doing now.
There aren't a lot of teams that have gotten off to the kinds of starts that the Phils or the Mets have that have gotten into the playoffs.
Yeah, no question about it. But anyway, there's a lot of grumbling there. I want to talk about ball. Yeah.
There are only two teams in the National League. Two teams in the National League have not won 10 games yet this season.
Phillies
and the Mets.
Right.
That is amazing.
So on Thursday, we had our annual meeting of the Auburn University Retirement Association. I'm on that board, and it was in this what used to be the football complex, but now it's the athletic one. And we went in, we had it at the Rain Auditorium.
Oh, yes.
If you've not been there, that's really good. I mean, they've got some really good memorabilia in there. Anyway, so we invited Stephen Pearl to talk. He talked for, we had about 95 people were there, and it was good. 2 years ago, we got Bruce Pearl in. We had about 110, a little bit more. But anyway, Bruce Pearl, his talks that he gives are just so much different. His enthusiasm, energy, jokes, that's why he's on TV. Whereas Steven, he's more like Joe Friday from Dragnet. Just a fact, man. Just a fact. Anyway, he did a great job. I mean, he started off with, you know, we didn't win enough games. We lacked height, even though we beat a lot of teams that were in there. He said we shouldn't be there. And he said, getting to the NIT, winning the NIT, and getting a new general manager was one of the best things that's happened, because now that it seemed like everybody they went after in the portal, they pretty much got. And he said, well, without the NIT and the GM, we might not have gotten those people. So
that's awesome.
All these questions went on and on. It was really good. The one I decided I was going to hit him with the best shot, fire away. You know, it was like, okay, so we Sway Levin was one of the big, you know, that was a sore spot with him. And, you know, Steven says, oh, we love Sway. We wish him all the best. And I think under his breath, he's probably thinking, we spent all the time and money on him. But anyway, so I asked him, I said, are you going to build this team with freshmen and bring in portal? I knew it was a rhetorical question. I knew I was like, I can't go for that. No can do. You know, it's like he said, we're going to get portal. The only freshman we're going to get.
He's given us two songs. Pat Benatar and Hall of while he's talking along.
Yeah, I got a couple more for you coming up.
Philly, because I know Hall and Oates are.
Yeah, they are. I went to school with Johnny Oates. I remember I told you that before. Wow. He was on the captain of the wrestling team. Right, really good. Okay, so
find a way to work in the Hooters next.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, this is getting pretty funny now. So anyway, he said we're going to get two freshmen, and they've got to be able to play in the rotation immediately. Right. He's basically saying we are not going to develop these guys like they did this year with three, and they all the three left. He's not going to do that. No can do. So he said, "Well, I asked him what." So I asked him what are you looking for? He said he's looking for one guard that can play the two or three position, and so it sounds like he's so far he's pretty happy with the way things are going.
So my muse is going to be.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, so my muse is the great Phil Collins, who's going into the HOF with a lot of others, and he's got illness, you know, but I think he'll still do good. I don't even know if he's going to be able to sing, but he had so many, you know, he started out with Genesis playing the drums, but when he went on his own, I mean, sounds like
Philly, he's Philly
studio.
Collins when you're talking about him, right?
That's right. Yeah, the one I like is In the Air Tonight. That is such a good song. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so
Chase
that's pretty what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's just an incredible performer. And, yeah, I'm saying go Braves. It's unbelievable what they're doing. And, sure, I want the Phillies to do well, and all my friends are still up there. But, so that's pretty much what I had to say. You know, I'm looking forward to Auburn next year in basketball. And I think they won like 17 before they went in NIT, something like that.
Right, yeah, they were 17 and 16.
Yeah, then they won last five. I think they could easily win four or five more. Maybe, you know, it's possible, but they're definitely going to be, maybe, you know, maybe not a 12 seed, but they come in maybe at an 8 or 9. I mean, that's optimistic, but I think they're going to change it around. I got the hype. First thing he said when he was talking about the bringing people in, he goes, yeah, our group is going to be 14 feet more than they were last year. He's talking about his
That's right.
two seven-footers. But, you know, he's not a bad speaker. I mean, he's not like his father at all. You know, he's just kind of...
Completely different personality-wise.
Question. But I think he's practiced, and I think he did a good job, and... You know, we could have asked questions all night there, but he finally cut us off. It was almost an hour. And, I learned good things from him. And, you know, I'd never heard him speak before. You know, I've heard Bruce talk a couple of times before. But he's very satisfied with the portal, and he's satisfied with what he has. He never did mention about there's one freshman that's coming in and then one freshman that was hurt last year. He didn't say anything about them. We'll see how they go.
Caleb Williams is coming in. He's a guard. I just don't see him as an immediate contributor.
Right.
He's kind of a developmental guy, so we'll see how that works with with this era.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
Simon's probably the guy he was talking about.
Another guy.
Abdul Bashir?
He's
left. Right.
No, he wasn't.
Abdul was left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amiko Porum's also left. They're both.
Unless there's another incoming guy that we don't know about.
Yeah, well, is he talking about that 2-3 hybrid? We'll see about that. How much longer is the portal going?
Well, I mean, the thing is, the players had to be in the portal by the 21st, but there's no time that they have to do anything until classes start this fall.
Yep, anybody
who's in the portal's got plenty of time. And Auburn's looking, as far as I know, Joe, I mean, the last guy – we've been hearing talk about is Mantas, the Rubstavicius or whatever.
Rubstavicius. I like the way you said it better than me. Lithuanian.
And we don't know how much eligibility he would have.
One or two, probably.
What
was
his
point
position?
Shooter, really athletic.
He's
a wing.
Well, he's a guy that's a wing, but I mean, he's been talked about as a possible point guard at 6'5".
Yeah.
So he's a guy that definitely could play the two and the three.
So if you had him, then you'd have another guy along with Tahad, along with George Kimball,
that could play those.
Yeah,
those
that would be just a terrific balance of players there.
I look for at least 8-man rotation. I think that's doable, and that's probably what he wants.
I think he'd like to have 9 guys at least that could play.
Well, that's better than what he had. What, 6.5? We'll look for them to have a better year, and I'm sure that let's bring about football. You know, you've got the new stadium with, $325 million or something like that?
The addition, I see, absolutely.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. It looked the computer made it look really,
cool,
really nice. And
I hope it looks like they're gonna, or close to that, and when it's really done, you know.
They're usually pretty good about that, though.
Yeah. I see they're going to have those specialty seats, probably. Seatbacks will be like the baseball seats behind the plate, where the guys with the big money can sit and talk to each other.
Every single building, when it comes to athletics, is going to be involved with premium seating.
Oh yeah,
anytime they expand the stadium or something, that's going
to
be.
Yeah, they need the money. Yeah, I don't know. They didn't say they would go over to 88,000, but I'm sure that's in the back of the.
I don't know. It may actually be a little be a few less.
It's going to keep it the same. Yeah.
Premium seating usually takes away, you know, more of the regular seats.
Well,
all right, man. Good hearing from you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Yeah. Some good stuff there. I mean, interesting that I think we had a pretty good idea. Stephen Pearl's pleased with what they've been able to do.
Yeah. You can see where this is his team. He's got guys that fit in well. And the one thing when we talked about this earlier that I didn't mention is, and the reason I like this so much is because almost every guy's brought in, or maybe every guy has something to prove, right? The guys that are bringing up from Troy and South Alabama and Kimball, these are guys who
– you've got guys that have been either injured or coming from smaller schools.
Right, Owen Freeman,
that bigger step.
Had those injuries. He's got something to prove. You know, he was Big Ten freshman
of the
year.
That's a good point.
And you got to love having a roster full of those type of guys.
Yeah, play with a little chip on your shoulder.
And I keep thinking, I mean, you don't want to put too many eggs in this basket because of the uneven first year he had, but I keep thinking there's something to Simon and Simon Walker maybe being able to contribute at guard. I know they went out and they got George as well, right?
Kimball.
They got George Kimball as well. So, I mean, it's not like – I mean, and with Todd and Kevin Overton both likely playing – 30 plus minutes a game. It's not like you have, if they both stay healthy, you don't have that many minutes available in the backcourt. You have way more options than you did last year, seemingly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, again, that depends on if Kimball, Kimball's got a pretty serious injury concern that he's got to get past.
But Simon's, he supposedly was practicing full speed at Vandy since, starting in January.
Simon's got to work his way back into the rotation and
was it a foot with Simon?
Develop, but. Yes, in the summertime it was.
That must have affected his ability defensively because Steven really talked about him early on being advanced for a freshman defensively. Right. But what we saw of him when he got a chance, when he was healthy enough to get to play, was obviously more offense than defense.
Yeah, I mean, guys like him can take big steps forward in the offseason. So, I just think he's a piece that they don't have to have step up, but if he does step up, that just gives Auburn more weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Either way.
All right, 334-321-1390. Still got time for you to get through, but we're going to get to our final break of the show as we continue from Franklin Tire here on the Monday Drive.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Final segment of the Monday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Brian here at Franklin Tire on East University. Just a week ago, we were talking, Brian. I mean, it's a great time. There's so much going on. It seems like a lot has changed here in a week. Basketball, as we were saying just a few minutes ago with Philly Fanatic, looked like they're looking for one more player. Football, all right, spring practice is done.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about a spring portal.
Yes.
It's just now recruiting and seeing how many high school players you can get locked down before, before fall practice gets started. So, I mean, things are, thinning out a little bit from the way it was just a week or so ago.
Yeah, and I do feel like Auburn's doing a great job in recruiting, even though they only have three commitments and their ranking may not be high. I wrote about this a couple weeks ago, but they have done a great job getting kids on campus.
They really have.
Number one thing for Auburn will always be building relationships. And nowadays, if you build that relationship, even if you don't get them,
that's right.
You may get
them. Being number two is not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not anymore.
The way it used to be.
Because you may get them a year from now, and he may be a lot cheaper a year from now, too. I don't think Auburn – that's what Auburn's trying to do. I think they're trying to get
players, too. No, they're trying to get them,
So that will really take off starting at the end of May with official visits through the, 3 weeks into June or so, and then kids really start making decisions mid-June through mid-July. So that's when recruiting will take off. Of course, we'll cover that very closely. We already got a long list of official visitors that are set for Auburn starting last weekend in May. Of course, I'll continue to cover baseball very, very closely. They no midweek games because of finals this week, but they will be at Texas A&M this weekend for a very, very big series.
You do have you got an ambush this midweek.
Yep, we'll speak to Stephen Pearl and Alex Golish tomorrow afternoon in Montgomery, where they're speaking to the Montgomery Auburn folks attending that ambush at Wind Lakes. And then we'll have plenty of coverage, of course, of the basketball portal as that kind of winds down and Auburn looks to finish out their roster for next season. And just anything else that pops up, Auburn Sports-wise, will be on top of it, auburnsports.com. You can follow me on Twitter, /X at BMattAU.
You know, I'm wondering, and again, the feeling sort of was a week or so ago that Auburn was maybe closer to getting Mantas than they were some of the guys that they
right.
pulled in. And I wonder if right now we're waiting to see what happens with the NCAA, because the NCAA is really pushing this the 5 for 5. Mm-hmm. They want that to come up for a vote in May.
Yep, they do.
Which is just this week, you know, May 1st. Hard to believe Friday is May 1st. But, I mean, they want that voted on here in the next few weeks and would like that to go into effect by the 1st of June. So I wonder if that might be one of the reasons for Auburn not going ahead and having Rube Stavicius, you know, on the roster right now. The question
be.
About his eligibility, how much time he has left.
Could be, but I think if they had a good idea about his eligibility and about, you know, getting him here, you know,
with all the other issues. I think if you felt like he's going to be eligible regardless
right.
for this year,
they would already have
him.
Yeah, they'd have him signed. So they're trying to work through those things. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I still think he's the number one target until I hear otherwise.
Yeah, but what are your feelings on the 5 for 5? You think it's gonna pass?
I do, and it'll probably be messy early as kids.
Well, there's so many that have gotten
right.
exceptions now. I think you got to let all those exceptions just
right.
slide. Let them you know go ahead.
Right, and but I'm talking about once it's implemented, you're gonna have kids from last year's or the year before saying, hey. We should have had our fifth year. We're going to sue for eligibility. So, but once that's all worked out,
well, I think you're going to have to grandfather in anybody who's in school that hasn't gotten to the 5 year mark.
Oh yeah,
I think you're going to have to let them go ahead and have that fifth year.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's guys that maybe have already left school and they feel like they're owed
an
extra
tough.
Year. So, I still think there's stuff to work out there. But once that process is through. I think this is the right move. It's been the right move for years and years. They've just put it off.
That should have been in before we had NIL into transfer portal.
The problem with the as great as the whole, like, all right, well, you play 4 games, you can keep your red shirt year. Like, that sounds great until you have situations like the Damari Alston situation where 3 games into a season.
Right.
I mean, you had that, what was it, the quarterback, the UNLV's quarterback a year ago, where it's like 3 games into the season, it's like, well, you know, if I quit now, I can play
next an extra year.
Right. Like,
no, that helps it so much better. That way, play as much, help your team as much as you can, and then look, if you transfer, and you got 5 years.
That's right.
Brian, always great to appreciate your time. Looking forward to everything you guys got this week.
Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Again, we're really appreciative of the folks here at Franklin having us out. The next time you need anything seen about with your vehicle, definitely bring it in here to Franklin. They're open 7:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and until lunchtime on Saturday.
Shout out to Coach Don Dunn and the baby back ribs.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, nice. We're out of time. Have a good one, everybody. We're out of here.
Were you shocked last time you bought groceries, filled up your gas tank, or paid monthly bills? We need leaders who care about Alabama families. State Senator Jay Hovey is that leader.